want you to write on that. Go ahead and shut it off. Get a new seat, whatever you have to do. Because I want this to turn out the way I want it to turn out, because it will probably be on our website. So are we shut down right now? You know, I was recently in the time of prayer, and as I prayed, I had a vision of hundreds and thousands of people sitting in churches all over the world, and many of them had umbrellas. And I sought the Lord and asked him, Lord, could this possibly mean? And he shared with me what I'm about to share with you. So just bear with me, and we will start our message called Umbrellas. If you would turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, and we will begin in verse 16. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your word, because man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And help us to understand what you're saying to us at this time, this generation. And everybody said, amen. In Galatians 5:16, the word says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Verse 17, the sinful nature wants to do evil. Let me say that inside of mankind, we suffered a great mutation in the Garden of Eden. And when an essence called sin entered into our lives in Genesis chapter 3, and it changed the course of mankind, and God set on a journey to put things right. And there was a threefold work of restoration of mankind that was done, and it's taken the course of around 7,000 years to do. But the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Holy Spirit wants to do. A person that is truly born again means to be, you've had an encounter with the Spirit of God, where he has quickened or made alive your spirit. Man is a spirit, just like God, created in the image of God. We're all born in need of a Savior. We all have a sinful nature. And even after you're born again and receive salvation, you have to contend with that sinful nature. And you have to learn how to put that under and how to overcome and do many other things. So you have this evil nature, and you wonder about it. Paul said, why? I want to do one thing, but I end up doing another thing. I end up doing what is evil at times if I'm not careful. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation to the law of Moses, which triggers and brings out sinful desires. Verse 19 says this, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very, very clear. You know, in one way, I'm not really concerned about what happens outside of this this church building, what happens in the world, because, you know, I don't have to tell you, anything seems to go these days. There's terrible things that happen in this world that go against the nature and the essence of Christianity. But the thing I am concerned about is this, that when these things happen within the church, and I have been a lifelong student of understanding these things to help people to do better and praying about these things. But this is the nature, your sinful nature. The results are very clear if you follow the desires. Those are sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have told you before, that anyone living that sort of life, everybody say, living that sort of life. Now, let me tell you something. You can have a moment when you slip and you say something ugly, you do something ugly, but there are people sitting in churches that are living lifestyles that God will never, never, ever, ever accept. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. On several occasions in my ministry so far, people have asked me to say things at a funeral that I did not believe were so. If I knew a person too well, and some really insisted strongly, well, you're going to say it. No, I'm not going to say that. I don't believe that. You know, I'm not going to say somebody went to heaven when the fruit doesn't show that in their life. If they died a whoremonger, a sinner, if they died a drunkard, you got the wrong man. You've misjudged me if you think I'm going to sit there and play patty cakes with eternity and tell people that somebody's in heaven that I really believe might be in hell. Now, I won't say that they're in hell at the funeral, but every person has their thoughts and their ideas. If you hear me say that I believe somebody is in heaven, I really believe by their fruit and by that my knowing them that they're in heaven. But make one thing clear, I think that it's the only fair thing to do in congregations all over the world is to tell folks, if you live this lifestyle, if you live a lifestyle of sin, you're not going to heaven. And not only that, if you live a lifestyle of sin, it is hard to be led by the Spirit of God in this life. You will not. So you will make decisions based on your five senses, what you can see, hear, feel, taste, or smell, instead of decisions made by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in your life. You can't have both. The scriptures in James say that. You can't drink at the table of the Lord and the table of demons. And bitter water and sweet water does not come out of the same well. Sometimes we have to know these things. We have to be told these things. I'm really very positive. I have enjoyed many great things in my lifetime since I was 19 years old, and I still continue to. At times I've made a mistake, but you cannot stand behind this sacred desk. You shouldn't, and be living a secret life of sin. And I can look you in the eye and tell you that I'm not. I'm doing what I can. Do I have problems at times? Sure I do. That's what 1 John 1 and 9 is about. If we confess our sins, 1 John was written to the church. It was not written to lost people. If we confess our sins, God is faithful, and he has a legal right to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from our sins. But let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone practicing or living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. And for all of my Christian life, as I have seen people fall into sin or be in sin, it greatly troubled me at first. I did not understand, how can somebody sit in a congregation where the truth is preached, because part of the truth is the don'ts of Christianity. When you stand praying, Mark 11:25, forgive if you have aught against anybody. Because if you won't forgive, God will not forgive you. And that's just a plain truth. And some of the sexual sins that this world is involved in, homosexuality will never be accepted by God. To practice homosexuality is a sin. It is an abomination to God. And churches are being threatened that they can't say that. Well, bless their little old darling hearts. I just want you to know that won't float. You can't be a Christian and a lesbian. You can't be a Christian and a homosexual. It's one or the other. The choice is always all yours. So it was a great, Lord, how can people sit under the word and end up living in double lives of great sin? And how can preachers do that? How can presidents do that? How can actors, there's Bill Cosby, did things that are so atrocious, I don't want to mention them here. Terrible things. And it's a confusing world, because look here. If I stand up in every funeral and I go over and pat that coffin and say, well, they're in heaven now, and you knew what they were, why are we here then? I mean, let's just be honest. You know, there comes a time in every poker game that you have to lay your hand down and show what you have. You got to know when to hold them. Know when to fold them. Know when to walk away. See, people, they don't know when to walk away. They don't know when to walk away. Because it's hard to walk away from yourself. But you have to get a hold of yourself. You won't get another chance. This is not a drill. You won't come by, but you won't come back as a butterfly. You won't come back as a person again. I don't care what TV show you're watching. We have one opportunity, and then, oh well. But I was just troubled. You know, people can sit and you think, oh my gosh, and you hear somebody, all of a sudden you hear somebody doing something really, really awful, and you think, oh my God. And God began to take me slowly but surely and teach me about the ways of mankind. And recently, he gave me the vision of the umbrella. And the next place I want to go is to the book of Isaiah. Go there with me, chapter 55. And, you know, if I could reveal something to you that would add 10 years to your life, how many of you would want that information? To be more extreme, what if there really is a Creator God? What if there really is a place called heaven? What if there really is a place called the Lake of Fire, the final destination for all those who spent their entire life saying no to God by what they said, by what they thought, and by what they did? Not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus said that. But in Isaiah 55 is a very sobering thought. And I'm going to begin in verse 6. Isaiah 55 and 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You know, if you're in a part of your life where you're determining, is there a God? Is this malarkey? And you're wise if you came here seeking the Lord. Seek him while he may be found, because this afternoon, between the morning service and the evening service, Donnie McFarlane left this life. He was a young man. Was he even 60? 62? 62 years old. My dear neighbor and friend, Dwayne Self, was 58 years old. It shocked me. It hurt me to see his widow, to see his two daughters, to see their little grandson. It was upsetting to me. But the word says here, and the word is kind. The word is not here to hurt you or to demean you or to embarrass you. The word is here to frankly inform you and give you an even keel. You know what I don't want on Judgment Day? I don't want anybody to come up to me and say, why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you tell me? Now, I am the prosperity guy that other churches don't necessarily like. I believe in the prosperity in this life. The Bible teaches it. All the good things, all the principles that showers down good health, guidance, wealth to a certain measure, to where you have enough to live on and running over, blah, 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 blah. But I'm also the guy, woe unto me if I don't share with you the whole counsel of God. And there's a responsibility. I'm not looking for church members. I'm looking for people that want to go to heaven. And the very sobering thing is, my boss, that's the way he is too. Now, if a person becomes a believer, they will not forsake church. For it is written, God has set every member in the body, in the church, as it pleases him. But let me just continue with my thought. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. For everybody in this room, everybody still breathing above ground, he is near at this time. And your destination of where you're going, when you do what Mr. Donnie McFarlane just did a couple hours ago, depends on you more than anybody else. For the grace of God that leads to salvation has appeared to every person. Every person has had a chance. How is that so? I don't know. I'm not God. And things have happened in this church. People have gone astray, and it shocked me. You know why? I say that I'm a prophet, but you know what? I don't work the gift works me. I can only speak about and see what God shows me. And he doesn't show me everything. And sometimes I think, Lord, I wish you'd let me know. He said, yeah, but you would have handled that different if you would have known. So, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And be a seeker. It's a healthy thing to want to go to church. Maybe you heard somebody preaches real good over here, and you don't have a church, and you're deciding where to go to church. It's good to connect yourself to the body, as the Lord says that a person should. Call upon him while he is near. And then I begin to understand the dilemma. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Whether good or bad, whether sin or a deed of the Lord, you are capable of doing what you think about in secret. The secret place of your thought life that people cannot see. The only way another person can see that is if God shows them and God reveals it. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. Let him turn to God, and God will abundantly pardon. Do you want a different life? Or are you sitting on the back row joking and laughing and just like you're going to be alive tomorrow when you may not be? What if this is the last service that you're ever in? What if you leave this building? Things don't go well. That's not a question to ask unless these things happen. Let the wicked person forsake that way of wickedness. How many of you would give me this here? How many of you would say, I know what wickedness is. I have a basic understanding. Amen. Amen. Wicked acts begin with wicked thoughts. That's just the truth that I've lived with since I was 19 years old. I'd already destroyed my life. I was already suicidal. I was a basket case. I just lived life very fast and hard. It was drugs, sex, and rock and roll. That was my world when I woke up in the morning. That's what I thought about. That's what I did. In verse 7, let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. I'm going to say, if you're going to end up in heaven instead of hell, in just a little while, that's going to make a difference. Because if you live to be 110, in eternity, that's just a little while. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man, in verse 7, let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. And then in verse 8, it says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. God sees things from a different perspective, a perspective that's more conducive to your well-being, to your happiness, to your peace. God sees things different. In other words, it's not always fulfilling and the best thing to win an argument. You can win an argument and lose a relationship. Is that not true? For my thoughts are not your thoughts. And your ways are not the ways of the Lord. And then things begin to open up. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. You may be thinking, why am I going through this? This is terrible. Boo-hoo. This ain't fair. God ain't good to me. But God may be working some eternal good in what you're going through. And I've always told you this. Don't stand up and tell me what a great Christian you are when the last 5 or 10 things that happened to you was great and you've been blessed. Though if you listen to what I teach, you'll have many things where you're blessed and things will be great and you'll have a great life. But stand up and tell me what's going on inside of you on your worst day. When the person that you thought loved you forsakes you, when the child that you love dies that day, when you've just been informed your check bounced, tell me then. Tell me then about the Lord. Because if God is not your God on the worst day, God is not your God. And if you die like that, you're going to go to the lake of fire. God doesn't want anybody to go to the lake of fire. You know what the word says? Hell was not created for mankind. Hell was created for fallen angels like Satan. But the word says, since fallen angels have influenced men, since we let our guard down and we let Satan rule over us, did you know in the Garden of Eden, we ruled over Satan? That's why he had to destroy us. That's why he had to trick us. Tell me how you feel about God when you just had the worst day of your life. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Now listen to this in verse 10 very carefully. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and it doesn't return until it waters the earth and makes the earth bring forth fruit, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. The best preachers preach messages that they got from God and not from the internet. The only legitimate preachers are the ones that can get a word from God and deliver it to a congregation. The mightiest miracles in the Bible, many times, was performed and done with less people than are in this room. Some of the greatest healings and the greatest miracles. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return unto me void, but my word will accomplish that which I please and shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I can think to myself, oh my God, if I preach stuff like this, people are going to go where they're always dancing and they're always laughing at the altar and crying at the altar, slapping themselves on the back. 2 years ago, a drug kingpin in Logan County and I became friends. He attends our recovery meetings. He attends Promise Keepers. See, he's trying to find out what it means to be a man according to God. Not how many people you can impregnate and how much evil you can do. And he told me, and he mentioned the church, and he said, I don't understand this here. He says, I'm new at this. But he said, those people, they'll be up there crying. They'll laugh. They'll slap each other on the back. And at 12:10, they will be at my house buying drugs. Now let me tell each and every one of you, if you're doing that, this probably isn't the church for you. And let me tell you something. If you don't stop that, you're going to end up in the lake of fire. Amen. And if you're living in any kind of adultery, and if you don't stop, you're going to end up. If you're living in any kind of, everybody said you knew what wickedness. If you're living in, if you're practicing. See, I'm not talking about a sheep that falls into a little mud hole and quickly jumps out and try to clean itself off. If you're living in wickedness, known wickedness, and you know what wickedness is, and you think going to church is going to change things, you're wrong. You're on your way to hell. You have to break that. You have to break it before it breaks you. The Word says in 2 Corinthians that we have to learn to take every thought that we think, we have to take it captive. And we have to stop thinking certain things. Because you are capable of any good or any evil that you think about, that you dwell upon over and over again. You have to win the war of the mind. And so shall my word be that comes out of my mouth. It comes through preachers. And it will accomplish. Let me tell you something. Right now, no matter what you do with this word, it's recorded. And if necessary, everybody that's listening to this message by CD, everybody that's listening to this message on the internet, if necessary, on the day when you appear before the great white throne judgment, by the way, the word says we must all appear before the great white throne judgment. The Lord will just wave his arm, no matter what you say, how you want to defend yourself. The word says, and everybody whose name was not found in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There are five prisons spoken of in the Bible. The final resting place for all fallen angels, demons, and mankind that continued to say no day after day, thought after thought, decision after decision is cast into the lake of fire. You cannot get out. There's a movie, I haven't seen it, but when I go through the channels, it says, I hope they serve beer in hell. Well, they don't. Well, me and my buddies are going to have a big party. You and your buddies may be there, but you won't be partying according to what the Word of God, what the lake of fire is described as being. So, I was sitting there in prayer, praying for a loved one, praying for just pouring out my soul to the Lord. And I've never seen this before. I understand this principle. But I looked out. I was behind a pulpit. It was the largest congregation. It was surreal. There were millions of people. The Lord said, Angelo, look closely. And I looked. And many of the people had umbrellas that were holding them up. And I said, Lord, what does this vision mean? He said, these are the folks that attend churches. Preachers preach my word. They're staring, but they're really not letting the word get into them, according to Colossians chapter 3. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Dwell in you. The word of God, Hebrews 4:12, is living and active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It'll save you. It's the only thing that'll save you. The cross, the blood, the word of God will save you. And he said, they're just in and out. He said, some of them are in churches and they're committing sin with one another. They may be doing a drug deal or a robbery or an adultery together in the same church or with somebody else somewhere. And it becomes confusing to folks that are trying to make any sense of this. Let me just say this here. You never cease to be able to choose what you want to do. But God wants to save you. Now there's only one way to save you. And how's that? His way. And one of the things you have to do is take a hold of your thoughts. I like what the word says in the book of James. And just listen to this Bible verse with me. And tell me, you judge for yourself what this means. In James 1:22, the word of God says this. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Jesus described the last generation, and he said people would go about deceiving and being deceived. Everything's cool. I have all the time in the world. And then you're out of the will of the Lord, so you're at the wrong place at the wrong time, and your life ends, or your life is greatly altered. Be ye doers of the word. It's good that you came to hear. Let me ask you, have you brought an umbrella tonight? Are you just here to visit, to have some kicks? Are you here seeking? Are you on your way to heaven? Or you just don't think about it? My advice to you is the advice of my Heavenly Father, the only Father I've ever known. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. People in this room here, you can hear it and hear it, and you can go out and do things. Is it not true? We have to get a hold of ourselves. I'm praying for another day for you. I'm praying that God will put a scenario together where you'll say to yourself, I can't continue like this. I can't do this. I have to stop this. I have to stop. I don't want to end up lost and in hell. Hell is described as a place of remembrance, where we remember the opportunities that we had. And death is described in Ecclesiastes at the end of the book. And it says, when a person dies, their physical body goes back into the ground and their spirit goes to the one who gave it. What for? Final judgment. I'm interested in the court system. I have interest in some of the trials that are happening right now. And many times what the prosecuting attorneys do is offer some kind of a plea bargain, or a good lawyer can get you off on a technicality There are no technicalities in heaven. You can lie all you want. God will wave his arm and he'll bring the whole thing back to that moment. Not only that, he'll wave again and everybody will hear what you were thinking when you did what you did. On the other hand, God sure knows how to find the people that are doing right, that are doing good, that are trying to serve God. We're no better than the ones that are not. We just have different choices. Some people like Apple. Some people like Android. Some people like Verizon. Some people like Straight Talk. I'm still making decisions on a lot of that. But there's one thing I've decided when I was 19 years old. I was full of demons. May you never know what it's like to be demon-possessed. It's when you can't help yourself anymore. And I was about to kill myself several times to commit suicide. You can sit under this word. And if you carry that umbrella in here and you let it bounce off of you like it doesn't mean anything, and you continue like that, and then your day comes like Mr. Donnie McFarland's day came today. This was his day. This was the day he died. Whatever Donnie did or didn't do, God knows. Can you grasp this? If God the Creator can take note and feel and experience when a little sparrow anywhere falls to the ground. I was in my chicken coop. Them little suckers, they eat most of my laying pellets. There's a whole bunch of them I'm feeding. The Lord just said, let them feed. But there was one in there, it was dead. I thought, I wonder what killed it. You know what the Holy Spirit said to me? I know what killed it. He knows how many hair are on your head. He knows how many days he's allotted you. And he knows if you live a foolish life and you die before your time. You can die before your time. You keep living a foolish life and tempting God. You could leave this life before your time. Good people die before their time and they go to heaven. Some of them. But my thought for you tonight is this here. Let the wicked person forsake their bad doings before it's too late. In the movie Open Range with Robert Duvall, Kevin Costner, there's a man that's been shot. Kevin Costner's going to go finish him off. And Robert Duvall stepped in the way and said, no, we're not going to act like murderers like these guys were. And he talked him out of killing this guy. This guy's laying there and he says, thank you, mister, thank you. He said, don't be thanking me. He said, you better be thinking about your bad deeds because the next time you're going to probably meet your maker. Church, I don't know if your deeds are good or bad. You know why? I only know what God shows me. That's all I know. Last Wednesday night, the Lord told me to take Mary McFarland by the hand and declare there's a turnaround. By the time she went home, there was a turnaround in her health. A few days ago, I prayed with Donnie McFarland. I said, Donnie, can I pray with you? He said, I wish you would. And I prayed with him. And he said, thank you so much. I felt that prayer. And Ernie witnessed Donnie was revived. Well, Donnie's been on dialysis for 5 years with deteriorating health. And no matter what happened last week at that prayer, this week he's dead. The score has already been tallied. His spirit has already gone to God. God has already decided what he's doing with Donnie McFarlane. Well, what is he doing? You know, I wasn't that close to him, but what I knew of him, he loved the Lord. I don't know that much else. And, you know, who can know fully? You know, but you can know by the fruit that they bear. You can know, that's what the Word says. You can know good from by the fruit people bear. So I appeal to you as your friend. I appeal to you as one that doesn't think he's any better than anybody in this room. But I also appeal to you as a person that takes very, very seriously. I hope I'm here to see you again. You know, I've said recently in a midweek service, I don't even like to be here. There's so many hurtful things that are happening. I'm going through some hurtful things right now. Is anybody else? By the raising of your hand? Yeah. And those of you that aren't, good. Good. But we've all been through hurtful things. And see, now is where I will display whether or not I'm a Christian, if I'm the real deal. And as we close tonight, the words of Moses speaking to the people in the wilderness. How many of you understand that this world is a wilderness experience that we all face? And he said to them, who is on the Lord's side? And I'm going to ask you tonight. And I'm not going to try to get a response. I'm not going to give an invitation. Because some messages don't need an invitation. This is just the truth. But in your heart of hearts, are you trying to go to heaven? That's all I'm asking you. In your heart of hearts, I hope. I love everybody in this room. I have no grudge against anybody in this room or any person on this earth. All I'm saying is, who's on the Lord's side? Will you stand with me, please? Let me preach the blessing over you. Those umbrellas that keep you from God, my advice to you is to throw them away. I want us all to have the best Christmas we've ever had. I've seen Sam and a few others, Tommy, say every year, this is going to be the best Christmas we've ever had. And they always are. I'm just amazed at the wealth of my children. And I consider you all my children, but I can remember Sam when he got saved many years ago and we began to hang out. When I would drop him off at his car, I would wait just to make sure that his car would start because he had some old beaters. But he's got a nice car now. So does Tommy and many of you. We love you. We're committed to you. If we can help you, that's what we want to do. But if you would please lift up your hands and let me speak to you the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance, his power, his love, his understanding upon you and in you, and give you peace and prosperity, give you safety from accidents, and give you everything good that will make you happy and satisfy you. May he answer all of your prayers. And everyone said, amen. Amen. And we love you and thank you for coming. God bless you.